Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
What is up? Sorry, kitty. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir, joined here with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Oh, just living a dream as usual of work and being exceptionally lazy. What have you been doing this last week?
Well, I was at my daughter's house, and it was really nice to see my son and my daughter, and spent a little bit of Christmas with them, but also, too, I've been working out, and I went and visited another gym yesterday. So, it was awesome. It was really cool to be able to, visit another gym.
You know, I should probably do that. I just sit here and get fatter and fatter and fatter. But I don't know if I have the willpower. You know, I just enjoy tacos and pizza way too much.
Enjoy your life. I mean, there's no, there's no should not. Who cares? You know, it's just my, my thing. I've always been athletic, and from competitive running for 23 years, and then I decided, well, last year, August 1st, 2018, from doing an 8-miler on August 1st, I switched to bodybuilding. So, for me, that's just my thing. It's something I enjoy, and, it's my fix. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink alcohol. My bad thing is just sugar and carbs. The bad
sugar.
Stuff. So, but sugar and carbs are my weakness. But no, I love weight training, and we'll see what happens. But right now, I'm just getting, fit as possible, and maybe if it's meant to be, I'll be up on the stage for bikini and wellness division. So. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with my development. I'm happy with my progress so far. But, one day at a time, and we'll see how it goes.
Very cool. Well, I did have something this last week that is kind of exciting. My entire life, I've had a dream, and that dream is to own 2 cars. I've always wanted to wake up one morning and decide, do I want to drive car A or do I want to drive car B? So I don't use a lot of credit, really. I don't have any debt. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pull the trigger and buy that second car. So I actually did yesterday, I got a second car. And my first car is a nice car. It's
years old. Wonderful.
my other cars are really nice. It's got, touchscreen, fancy. It's only got 20,000 miles on it. I bought it new. And so I got kind of hoopty, but it's not really a hoopty. It's kind of in between a nice car and a hoopty. I got a 2005 Ford Escape, so I can have 4-wheel drive. It's got a lot of miles. It might blow up next week. I don't know. But if it does, I figure the worst-case scenario is really just having to tow and park it, because I'm not going to be left without a car, because I already got a newish car. So I'm kind of excited about
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations.
And it's, you know, cheap car payment, try and build up some credit. But it's really, it's a big change from going to my new car, which is really low to the ground. It's a sport coupe. To, I feel like I'm in a monster truck just sitting in a Ford Escape. It's really kind of strange. And I also noticed the other thing is I have a backup camera in my newer car. And when I'm in the Ford Escape, I'm like looking at the dash to back up. You know, like, wait a minute, this is an older vehicle. Yeah, I don't have a camera, so I actually have to use the mirrors and look. It's kind of funny, but so that's kind of exciting.
Oh, that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. Yeah. So, but, so you've been, anything going on in your world at work? Are you back down, back to regular work now?
Yeah. I haven't been there in a few days because I work 4 days a week, but it's going well. It's busy. I'm hoping that it will slow down at the hospital soon, because every day it's just very stressful. You know, every time I do the thing, every once in a while they do these blood pressure checks at work, and of course mine's really high. And but it's because it's just so stressful. But not a lot to report. There's nothing really going on. The one thing I did discover, having to do with the paranormal, is there is a National UFO Reporting Center, and it lists by state all the UFOs that have been reported, or whoever's reported them. You know, it's obviously not everybody reports them, but that compiles all these UFO sightings with brief descriptions and the time and date when they've occurred. And I've pulled up our home state, the state of Oregon, and there were about 3,000 reports, and the earliest one goes back to June 30th, 1949, where a cigar-shaped craft was spotted. And like, if I click this, it'll give the description and the story. And in this particular case, the person, it looks like they were abducted. So it's very interesting stuff. And just looking at all the states, and I was trying to see, well, what's the state with the most UFO sightings? And I'm looking through this through all 50 states. And it's California. That's not surprising. And it's very interesting. The District of Columbia looks like it has. Oh no, actually, the Northwest Territory, wherever that is. Is that Canada? I have no idea.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
I think so. I think you're right. Canada.
There's one that only one place. This must be Quebec. Only one UFO was reported. But if you look through this list, Washington and Oregon are pretty active. Washington has almost 4,000 UFO sightings. And you can see where the earliest one of that was, the earliest date on Washington reported was 1946, 1947. And you can just look at it, and a lot of it's probably explainable, things that you could explain, just like weird lights and stuff like that. But some of them are kind of compelling, you know, where they're actually seeing discs and stuff like that. But a lot of bright lights, you know, hey, I saw a bright light in the sky and this, that, or stuff like that. Here's one that was reported early this year that looks a little bit interesting. It was some guy watched a perfect triangle about the size of a baseball field. It was very bright, red and orange, and it silently floated above him for about a minute. So all this stuff is going on every day around us, and we're just not aware, because most people don't look at sites like this. So if anybody wants to look at this, it's the NUFORC, and let me see. So www.nuforc.org, and you can look at what's going on in your state.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, they've seen some UFOs, and to be honest with you, I don't know whether they're real or, could be imaginary, but I've seen some good ones.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to discern what's real, what's not. I would assume the vast majority of what people are seeing are explainable. And then secondarily to that, I would assume that probably there are some government projects and secret, you know, aviation things going on, that technology we're not aware of, but it's not aliens. It's our military industrial complex testing aircraft. And then third, I would say might be legit UFOs with little green scary aliens.
Do you think that's a pot? What do you think, that how much of a percentage that could be aliens, or, you know, that kind of thing?
I would probably guess that out of all the strange things cited, and this is not based on any, this is like my gut feeling, it's not based on any knowledge that I have, but I don't know. I would probably guess maybe anywhere between 1% and 3%. It could even be less than 1%. I think that's probably pretty safe.
I think she's no longer part of it, but I think she is. She was one of MUFON investigators.
Yeah, she would be the one to know about, you know, what's being reported out there. If you look at the past, with projects that were done by the military in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, where they were testing out the SR-71 Blackbird, which is the big, long, sleek spy plane, or the U-2 spy plane. People would see those being tested and think that they're UFOs because they just weren't aware of the technology, and the shapes of the planes are weird. So it's not a stretch of the imagination to think in our current time, where maybe we are operating disc-like aircraft testing anti-gravity propulsion systems, and it's not, in fact, manned by gray aliens that probe people in their butts. It's some sort of Air Force officer.
No telling. There's a lot we don't know about, is there?
There's a lot that we don't know that goes on, and you know, probably in a lot of cases, ignorance is bliss. There's so much shady stuff that happens behind the scenes, and other society, particularly Western society, likes to keep us distracted with all the nonsense on television and the media, and meanwhile, there's nefarious individuals in the background doing terrible things to other populations and our own. Oh, God, I'm getting on a conspiracy tangent.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's what we're all about. Oh, my goodness. No telling. I mean, even Facebook, you know, it's interesting. I was telling my husband the other day, you know, if you have like 500 people, you know, 500 likes and, I mean, 500 followers, and you see the feed, it doesn't even reach. And it varies for different people, but sometimes you don't even get, you know, it doesn't even reach 100 people. So what the heck is going on? I mean, I thought it's, you know, free speech and all kinds of things. It's weird. And sometimes it reaches maybe 1,000 people. I don't know. It's just something's really weird.
Everything in our lives in modern society has come down to an algorithm. And I looked at this in the lunch because I was curious, why are some Facebook posts reaching a bunch of people and others reaching a not? And I don't remember the details of it, but there are algorithms in the background that are based on probably 100 different data points, why a post gets, you know, more views than others. And our life, everything in the background is an algorithm nowadays. Our internet habits are all these huge corporations tracking everything. Every time you use your rewards card to shop, or credit card online, I mean, it's targeted advertising. It's just, it's crazy. And I'm trying to disconnect a little bit. Like we were talking before the show, I have a couple Facebook accounts and I've deleted them. I deleted my main accounts and I only have one account left. It's got zero friends, and its sole purpose is to do stuff on the Paranormal Horizons Facebook page. And because I found out not only is everything being tracked to a ridiculous level, I think we get so distracted with social media, and I was addicted to it. I was constantly checking Facebook, you know, what's going on in this person's life or this person's life. And it's just a big distraction. And it's a bunch of drama because everybody out there posts what, you know, all the drama going on in their life. And so I'm trying to not completely disconnect from that, but trying to kind of back away from it a little bit, just because it's just, most of it's nonsense.
Yeah, I know it is. It's definitely, and like you said, you know, just because, you know, if it wasn't for the Paranormal Horizons, I don't blame you. No, I don't blame you a bit, you know, where you got to be. So if it wasn't for my, you know, business page, I wouldn't want nothing to do with it either, you know. So I really agree with you.
Yeah, our Facebook page reaches anywhere between 1 and 6 million people every week. That's a week. Can't abandon that.
That's a week. Do you believe that's so? I mean, so again, it's the algorithm, but do you feel that that's accurate, or what's your take on that?
I think it's accurate, but what I don't understand is, I don't know if you noticed, but our Facebook page at one time, I believe, hit 6 million in a week, and it was averaging 1 to 3 million, but this last week or two, it's only been about 500,000.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're getting... Yeah, I don't know why we're getting these highs and lows, because I don't think we're doing anything different. But like you said, it's the algorithm.
And I noticed that you can tell the folks, you know, I can just say this. How many people like the page is 45,448. We have 46,657. That is not, to me, it's not even moving. I don't understand why. I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah, we were getting, sometimes 3,000 to 6,000 likes a week. And then now I looked at it the other day. It was 145. So why did it suddenly die out? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But the fact is that you're reaching so many people, you know, with the things, and you're entertaining people. Who cares? You know, they take it personally. It's nothing personal. It's just entertainment. Nothing meant to be personal or anything like that.
I laughed the one time some person got offended by one of the memes. I'm like, and they're like, you know, this is a dumb page. I'm leaving it. And meanwhile, you know, 2,500 other people joined. You know, it's like, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
I know. You can't keep everybody happy.
Isn't that
isn't it crazy?
Life?
That's just the way life is. You got somebody that's going to look, you know, instead of looking and just scrolling over and saying, no, that's not for me, they're going to be upset about it or whatever. You know, that's just, you just can't let it get to you.
You can't
absolutely
make everyone happy. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that...
next week I think we're going to do, and I was just talking about that, next week I think we're going to talk about, it's going to be the first of the year, and we're going to start out, we're going to talk about Chinese traditional Chinese medicine. So since I'm a practitioner, I might as well talk about it, and we can go off subject after that. I don't care, but, you know, I think that, you know, just to help people understand what Chinese medicine is and how effective it can be effective, I should say. I think we're going to cover that.
Is that like herbs and spices and stuff? I know nothing about it.
Yeah, that's one component. That's what it's about. Is, yeah, really, it's educating people. It's informing and educating and let people know and sharing with Chinese medicine. There's four components of it. So, the herbs is one branch. There's four branches of Chinese medicine. So, next week we're going to cover in depth a little bit about it for an hour. But, Chinese herbs is one of them. And the other one, everybody knows acupuncture. And the other branch is massage. We call it Tuina massage. It's a very deep, intense, rolling type of massage. And the fourth branch, where I am, is called medical Qigong. So medical qigong is basically the basis of it's the groundwork, the basis of Tai Chi and Kung Fu. It is a martial art, but it's broken down into exercises. And medical qigong is being able to move the body. And there's three components. I'll get into it next week. But there's three components of medical qigong. But moving the body, moving the energy, purging the toxins, being able to dispel any type of toxins and imbalances in the body without even having to touch the person, that's what medical qigong is, and that's what I do. It's not Reiki, totally different. Reiki is just it's a hands-on healing. Originally, people say, oh, my gosh, Reiki, you know, which is a good, you know, it originally was a good healing modality in itself, but it's gotten to be so commercialized that, you know, myself, I just don't, you know, I don't believe in Reiki too much because it's just they took the whole essence of what Reiki is and made it very commercialized, and it's all about the money. So, yeah, it's a Japanese healing modality. It's very different.
Is Reiki like one of those things where you can just go like buy a certificate online and then you're instantly a Reiki master?
Has it become like that? Yeah, almost. Really, it is. I mean, they didn't have
to take an online class.
It is. It's almost like you can go in and pay somebody. I'm a Reiki master, and then there's three, sometimes four levels, depending on what level or who the teacher is. But you have to pass your first attunement. You get a so-called attunement. And all you do is look for somebody who's been Reiki, who does Reiki. They pass so-called an attunement. You charge between $100 all the way up to $10,000. If you're under the Yasui line, which is the guy who invented Reiki, and literally invented Reiki. He's a Japanese monk who invented Reiki thousands of years ago. And so if you carry his lineage and down to his descendant below, you pay $10,000 for the courses.
Wow.
No kidding. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, wow. And all of a sudden, you get past an attunement where they do these little symbols, and they blow into your crown, and then you're so-called, you got past an attunement, so you're Reiki 1. Now you can go and do Reiki on other people, do hands-on healing with other people. And you just pay a fee, and there you go. And some people just pass on the attunement. Some people make a big deal about it and say, well, I'm going to be doing a Reiki class. So I'll explain to you what the different symbols mean and what does it do to people and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like I said, it could be from $100 to $10,000. Just for the first attunement. So you've got to go through three. And the third one, depending on the teacher, can be your so-called master's attunement where you can teach Reiki yourself. So it's basically a certification program so that you can go and teach others to do Reiki and do Reiki yourself. Yeah, it's crazy. You've heard of it, right?
Oh, yeah. So here's a little known fact of me. I don't know. I think I did mention this at one point over the years. I am actually a certified in polarity therapy. Like, I had to jump through all the hoops to get a certification. It wasn't one of those deals where you just, you know, you pay some money and you get a certificate. I had to, like, apprentice and all that. And that polarity therapy, I mean, this was years ago, is kind of that hands-on healing thing. And like, I would have a pendulum in one hand, you know, and like do all this. It's like energy healing manipulation, but that was such a long time ago. I don't even remember how to do it. I should get back into it so I can make some money, but you know.
Right. Interesting. That is so interesting. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, and it, you know, it's just like, you know, that I don't know. It's just personally, it takes a long time. You know, whether you're energy healer, whether you do, you know, roping, whatever, you have to have a lot of experiences and to me, clinical experience. You know, the books, the basic books, but, you know, you just can't say in a month or maybe a year and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Reiki master and I can go in. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. It's the same thing as certifying yourself as a yoga instructor. It's like, wow, this is just, I don't know, or certified Qigong teacher. There's in our culture, in the Asian culture, in the true Asian culture, there's no such thing as certifications. That's just for, you know, people that are wanting to so-called, it's all about titles. It's not about titles. It's about integrity. It's about discipline. It's all about, persistence, character, you know, those kind of things. How long are you willing to study the art and do a lot of clinicals and different people before you feel confident that you're effective in what you do? Those are what, to us in the Asian culture, when you are in Chinese medicine, is what brings you out is the effectiveness, not whether you're certified. Anybody can be licensed or certified. It's how competent you are as a practitioner and what your overall results are with people that you work with. That, to me, you know, will speak for itself.
And I imagine with the stuff like Reiki, there's not a lot of oversight. If you look at Western medicine, and I know this because I work in a hospital laboratory specifically, everything is so regulated, and there has to be all sorts of validations and QCs on the instruments and, you know, to make sure we give accurate results. I would imagine with the alternative medicine, there's not that level of oversight. You know.
Yeah, you need to. You know, especially when, you know, in clinicals. Yeah, we had to make sure we had at least, to even take the test, you had to have an efficiency of 90% or more, you know, of results, you know, healing results. I mean, you're not just touch and go. You know, and they made it tough because they want people that are, you know, really good, especially with my professor. He goes, you know, anybody can go and do that, but whether you have, you know, so what's your success rate? You know, what that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the numbers, and that's what I do. I'm quite different in the way, you know, me doing Chinese medicine because it's you know, for me, it's the mental aspect. I just want the results. If I can't get the results, I'll refer you. Go ahead.
Society has become such a scam a lot of times. I was watching a documentary a while ago about doctors and psychiatrists or psychologists, and I think it was up in Canada, and they were researching a handful of people, and they found out like a really large amount of people are operating with diplomas from diploma mills where they just pay money to get their degree and they're in practice doing, you know, medical stuff. And they,
wow,
you know,
that's
they're just
dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not
ridiculous.
With different people, that's really dangerous. Especially when you're into that kind of thing. And, you know, it's interesting because the people will say, you know, whether it's Reiki, you know, they say, oh, yeah, Reiki can't hurt. I beg to differ with that. I'm sorry, but I've had people where they've worked on me and do Reiki, and it's like, I don't think I ever want you to come near me with a 10-foot pole again. But I don't know. I'm maybe because I'm sensitive. You know, I'm really sensitive to energy and sensitive to other people's energy and that kind of thing, but when they say Reiki can't hurt, I beg to differ with them. To me, it's all about intention and their skill level and their experience and, you know, that kind of thing. There's so many different factors that can play into whether you're going to be successful or not. You can't rely on the cosmos or God, I would say, to be 100% successful.
They could be doing Reiki by day. They could be doing Reiki by day and then worshiping the devil at night. You just don't know.
It could be. I'm no kidding. This is just my personal experience. I've had people so-called do Reiki, and I can feel, like, really doing harm. And it's like, that must not be Reiki. Well, what is it? You know, if they call themselves a Reiki person, a Reiki practitioner, or a Reiki master, or whatever you call it, you know, Reiki's Reiki. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's just interesting. Have you ever had Reiki done on you, Jason?
Not only have I never had it done, I don't even know if I could spell it. That's my level of knowledge in Reiki. I think it's R-E-I-K-I.
Yep.
Hey, I'm smart. My mama told me I was smart.
So how was the polarity? How was that experience?
It seemed to work, but... It seemed to work. You know, I had to do the thing where, I had to do X amount of people, like a clinicals. And there were some good results, but I have evolved as a person a lot since that time in the last 20, 25 years, to where I've become, as you know, more skeptical. And whether there was any actual healing with that, I don't know. But I'm more on the science-y end of stuff now, so I kind of think that maybe it's has like a placebo thing going on where people feel better. But there were, you know, instances where people felt better. Maybe
good.
I'm a gifted healer. Maybe I need to quit my science job and go buy me some crystals and go out there and start manipulating energy again. Maybe that's my calling.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's so many different forms, you know. It's kind of like people almost invent their own form of healing, huh?
I think I should. I'm going to invent my own. Actually, I'm still planning on starting my own cult. So if anybody out there wants to join my cult, the prerequisite is you have to be wealthy and give me your money so that I can have my Waco-like compound.
Well, I kind of heard, and this is just kind of off the rats, but I kind of heard that since you work in the Portland area, I heard that Oregon Health Sciences took over Tualatin Hospital in Hillsboro.
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't heard
that. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You work for Providence. You work for a different health system.
Yeah.
It's quite different.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting sleepy.
it's okay. So what else do you want to talk about besides, you know?
I don't know.
We're on iHeartRadio, and I'm just really happy with that. And, you know, I think we were very blessed. I know that there are a couple people that are trying to get on iHeartRadio. It's really tough. You know, they want some good people there, definitely. So we're very, very blessed and very fortunate we got accepted on iHeartRadio.
Yeah, we're all over, everywhere, literally.
Yay! But anyway, just crazy. And what gets me is that my husband is a martial artist, and what gets me is now when I see that people have to be certified in Qigong, it's like, really? Are you serious? Or certified in Tai Chi certification. It's like, wow, what people won't do to make that mighty buck, you know? Don't make it say like, yeah, I'm legit, so I'm gonna invent a certification program. I have to laugh. It's just such a joke. It is absolutely a joke. It's like the martial arts in America. You have to have a black belt program or a blue belt program or yellow belt or brown belt. Oh, my gosh, just so that they can say, oh, guess what? You're doing good. You need a brown belt.
Yeah, years ago I was, like, into martial arts, and I joined one of these martial art chains. And I was dumb. I signed their contract. It's like something, if I remember correctly, like a black belt or brown belt contract. And you get charged every month. So it didn't work out for me. But then I'd signed a contract. So it was like they came after me for all this money. Everything is so commercialized now. It's just, everything's a scam.
What do you mean a contract? If you don't mind me asking, but what was the contract? That you're going to pay a certain amount of money until it's paid off or something?
Yeah, it was just like that, like any kind of loan kind of thing. You sign up and you make monthly payments on this thing, and it's like, you're like, I don't remember exactly, but I think you were like, this is years ago, you're guaranteed to like make your brown belt or black belt, and it was just like American karate,
wow,
karate kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's about
to make
money.
Me off of you.
Yeah, everything's about money. Yeah, it's terrible. We live in a money driven society. There are those
like
that have, those
like,
that have not.
I like being able to gift, you know, readings when I feel like doing, and you know, gift readings when I feel like giving a gift, and that's a lot of times is very spontaneous, or you know, just charging at a reasonable amount, or be flexible. You know, we all have to pay bills and everything, and if I can get away with not having, if my bills were paid, I'd be doing it all for free. You know, whether it's Chinese medicine or, you know, psychic mediumship, but, you know, in this day and age, we have to have some kind of, you know, exchange or anything like that, and you can't just live on love. So the honest to God truth is that, you know, we got to get paid. You get a little bit of compensation. So, but no, I like gifting readings. I like giving away readings when I can. And, you know, when I started reading as a psychic medium, I'm not kidding you, I gave away 300 to 400 readings. Gave away, so I knew that when I started accepting money in forms of some kind of payment, then I knew I was able to be public. So, yeah.
So how, I know that fakery and fraud is a big thing in the psychic world. I mentioned before I knew somebody that worked for the main psychic hotline, and he self-admittedly wasn't psychic at all, and it was all a scam. They work off a script. You know, they do like these readings, you know, getting in the heads of people that call in to make money. How do people out there discern between the fakers and the frauds to somebody that really has gifts?
How would I describe that? You just know. I mean, I think that when a person, first of all, they're not going to read your body language. They're just going to know. I really feel this way. They're not going to, like, check you out and go on to Google or anything like that. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for other people, and that's one thing. But when I sit down, I have the ability to open up. I don't read people when I see people on the streets, and this is just me. I'm a normal person. But once a person sits down or stands or whatever, and I'm ready to read, have permission and ready to read, I open up that door, and I get flooded with information. I really do. And I don't have to know anything about you. I just, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I just come out and say it. I don't need tarot cards to go and, you know, have a way of opening up those, you know, the avenue. Oh, you have a, you know, jack of diamonds, or you have, you know, king of clubs or whatever, and start reading things like that. No, I just download. I don't look at you. I don't even, you know, it's just, I just know. And I think that when a person goes in, and when they're really, really open, and I really feel that you just should know if a person's authentic or not, and that's really a big thing. You know, are they going to talk about things that they don't know about you? Are they going to talk about things that are in your past? Are they going to talk about things that are in your present circumstances? Are they going to talk about your habits? Are they going to talk about things that you don't want to discuss in public? That's how you know, I think, how you know from a real person or not. You can say generally, oh, you're having a hard time, financial hard time. Well, everybody's having a financial hard time. But when you go under and you be specific about the finances and things like that, or I see you're going to be taking a trip. Well, you're going to be taking a trip. I see that you're going to be looking at, you know, you have to be specific. I really do. You can't be generalized. You have to be specific. And that could be also, too, how you can tell between a real person and a fake person.
Yeah, because a lot of people are skilled at doing, like, cold readings. You know, all these shows where people talk to the dead and stuff like that. It's all, I'm not saying that they're 100% fake, but it's all a skill. It's about reading the audience. you know, where they stand out there. I'm sensing a female, you know, somebody lose a mother, you know. Have you ever heard of Have you ever heard of the magician James Randi?
Never heard of him. Never heard of him at all.
I think he recently died, but he's a very old, like, stage magician, famous. And so he went into debunking all these psychic frauds, and he offered a reward that is still valid today of $1 million if anybody can ever prove that they're psychic, whether it be telepathic, whether they can move objects with their minds. To this day, it hasn't been claimed. It's been out there for decades. But it's very interesting because on television, he's debunked some of these people on live TV and YouTube James Randi, and you'll see these people just get embarrassed on there. There's some really, really amusing ones where there's this guy, and he's like, he can move the pages of a telephone book, and then James Randi's out there, and he, like, you know, basically shows that the guy is subtly breathing on the pages. It's absolutely hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And so he debunks all sorts of people, and so I love watching the videos on YouTube. And but to this day, nobody has claimed the $1 million prize, and it's been out probably 20, 30 years, maybe even more. $1 million.
Well,
if anybody
can psychics that haven't challenged him, because personally, I know that there are people that are really, they are really psychic, and they're really good mediums, and or good mediums. So my first reading, and I'm going to share this, this person has been deceased. My mother, before she passed on, she would have a psychic from Hawaii, and she was a female. I don't know. I think she passed on, too, my mother and this psychic also. But my mother was always, I mean, really, she said this lady just had the gift. Didn't have to say a word. She just knew things and, you know, it just was really amazing. And I think that people, you know, it just depends. I really feel that there are people that are gifted, that are true psychics and true mediums. I mean, the person that I went to see was in Hawaii, and he didn't know anything about me, and he just, you know, they brought things about my mother that nobody would have known. And just interesting, just a couple things. That's all I needed to know. The way her mannerism and how she would roll her eyes. She's rolling her eyes right now, and she's thinking, how much do you look? You really turned out to be like her. And I thought, uh-oh, that's my mother. Because my mother was like that. Every time she was, you know, she would, that I knew right away it was my mom coming through. So I do believe that there are people, but most of them are, you know, charlatans. They really are. And
we had a guest.
Go ahead.
We had a guest years ago on Paranormal Horizons named Kelly Jo Monahan, and she was one that left me scratching my head. Like, she was saying, like you're saying, callers would call in, and she would, like, give very specific information, and she was the only one that blew me away. I mean, I really didn't get the impression that here's a person that's going to set up a bunch of people to call in the show, you know, to kind of fake us out. I didn't get that impression.
Right.
Of course, that's always possible. But yeah, that was one that blew me away.
Wow. Yeah, there are some legitimate ones. Really are. I mean, and I can say I've seen James Van Praal. He's a medium. And I've seen him. He has truly a gift. He really does. I've seen him read. I don't know what you call cold call. I don't know what cold reading is when you said cold reading, or what do you call that? What did you say? A cold reading?
Cold reading is,
yeah,
don't
that?
Quote me on this. A cold reading is when you're just in a group, you're doing a reading and there's a whole group of people and you're just throwing out things and looking at people's expressions, trying to get hits on information. A hot reading
is instead of really knowing, hey, this is where I need to go, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a hot reading is where people, like those preachers, like Popoff, you know, that preacher, last name of Popoff, he was like one of these evangelical guys filling stadiums, and then he would say, oh, so-and-so, you have a bad back, or you have cancer, and he would give real specific information and he'd heal people and stuff like that. Well, what ended up happening was is when the people go to these huge meets, they would fill out prayer cards, you know. So then the staff would go through the prayer cards and they have the people's name and what they're praying for. And then he would have a hidden earpiece in his ear and his wife would relay the information to Popov. And so that would be like a hot reading where you're getting information, specific information. So what somebody did is they took a radio scanner to one of these big events and they intercepted the radio signals between his wife and him. So that would be like very, you know, that's really fakey and really not a good thing.
What happened in that case? He couldn't get any readings, could he?
He was busted out, and he ended up, I think the church went under, but I believe, if I remember correctly, recently he's kind of making a comeback, but it pretty much just destroyed him after that became evident.
You can't do that. That's just wrong.
No, that's,
absolutely.
That's terrible.
Fakery. That's not
so
even,
terrible.
Oh my gosh, you can't do that.
And
wow.
He's not the only one.
That's why psychic mediumship, or psychic and or mediumship, has such a big bad rap, because there's a lot of people out there. There really is. And even in these shows, you know, the local shows, the metaphysical shows, you know, there's a lot of them that are just, you know, they're charlatans. You know, look at they're a dime a dozen. I hate to say it, but they're a dime a dozen.
Do you remember that psychic phone line with Cleo? I can't remember the full name.
Yes. I didn't watch
it. You remember
TV,
her?
But yeah, I heard about her. Was she ethnic?
Yes. Well,
okay.
I saw a documentary or a video on her, and like, she's not psychic at all. Like, she was picked out by this production company to do this whole thing. And, you know, it's just people have to be careful. I mean, if you're going to throw your money into
you
something
do.
Like that.
You really do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Everybody, I mean, we're all getting scammed from every direction. If the government isn't scamming us, it's corporations or private individuals. And it's all for the same thing, to get your money. And it works, because that's people go ahead and do it. You know, all these people are making money hand over fist because they're being fooled. Tricked.
Oh, that's bad. Wow. I think that, you know, and also, too, and I can say this, if you're not sure from referrals or, you know, word of mouth, look at their testimonies. I mean, that, to me, is a big thing too. Look at the reviews and the testimonies and in the person, you know, how, like John Holland, you know, how many people, what are the testimonies coming from, you know, different various people, you know, what are they saying about them? That, to me, would, you know, would help hold some clout as far as what their skill level is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially if you know a person, because you know, people fake their own testimonials.
And I go a lot on referrals, and so it's nice to be able to get to that point where people refer you. I'm still marketing myself, but when you have referrals or people, good word of mouth, that really holds a lot of weight. It really does.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you go to any website.
But anyway, going on my page, if you want to go look at my page on Facebook, I do have a website, but my page is Psychic Medium Sherry, and it's spelled C-H-E-R-I. And you can go under there and check me out. You can like and follow me. And I do have testimonies or reviews I have written, and I also have videos. So I don't keep up with everyone, because it feels like, to me, you know, that, to me it's moderation. If I did every other post, I'd be bombarded every day almost. But I want to be able to do quality and not, you know, part of me is still wanting to get out there and market myself and show people that don't know me of the work I do, whether it's in Chinese medicine or psychic and or mediumship work. But just want to go out there and share some of the testimonies or reviews are. So check me out or go under www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com. There you go. I am marketing myself, Jason.
And you can't like and follow me because I'm a ghost. I don't exist. I'm progressively removing myself from the internet.
But no, seriously, I tell people the first thing, if you're going to see a psychic or anything, have an open mind. You're going to hear, it's a true psychic, you're going to hear what you need to hear. If you come to see me, you're going to hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I tell people to have an open mind and an open heart. And there are times where I may not be saying things that you want to hear. I find a lot of things about you once I open that door that is very embarrassing or things like that. Things that you will know, but it comes out during the reading. So I just feel like,
a serial killer. Yeah, if a serial killer comes to you.
Oh, that would be bad.
Can you sense that? Will you see that?
I won't read people. If I have a weird feeling about people, because let's put it this way. When I do a show or whether I'm standing up on stage, I can generally, once I open that door and I get my feelers open, you don't have to say anything. I kind of know what's going on. And if I feel like, honestly, if there's some dark entities attached or something that's off, I won't read you. Mm-mm, absolutely. I won't go on the dark side. Because there are people that have very dark energy. And whether they're dark entities attached or can be the D word, you know, I just rather not. I don't do that. Yes, I can detect them, yes. So
if I have a problem,
I'll call my colleague and my friend June Lundgren. I'll call her and get her to take care of that. I don't do the dark side, so.
If I see a psychic, I don't know that I really want them to know that I get up at 3 a.m. and eat a bunch of flan in that delicious custard. That's what I've been doing.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say this. I'm excited. I'm going to have June Lundgren come back in January. I do want her back. We're going to talk about curses.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
We're going to talk about... Yeah, that's why I'm going to have her back. We're going to talk about what's the difference between hexes, vexes, and curses. You know, things, negative thought forms, those kind of things. So, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. I can take off negative thought forms off of people, but I don't do curses. I don't deal with that kind of stuff. I don't deal with hexes or vexes. That's what June does. June does the demonic and the dark entities.
Let me ask you this. Since I have a new car, is there anything I can do to remove the energy or make sure it's not cursed and doesn't explode or kill me?
I do believe in that. I can tell you a story on that. I would say sage it. Sage the inside of it and the outside of your car.
So that'll look really,
no
really
kidding.
Funny.
Do it in your car. Do it at your house. Who cares? Nobody's going to look at you. And if you do, so what? Who cares?
They're going to think I'm trying to set it on fire if I'm running out there with a bunch of burning weeds.
Do you really care what people think? Your intent is to clear any
really,
negative energies that are residual in the upholstery or anything that's attached to it. Or maybe the previous owner or owners that you don't know maybe could be energetically attached to the vehicle who you don't know, maybe have deceased. Who knows? You know, you don't know that kind of stuff.
Speaking of that, you know, before I got this car, I drove a gold Ford Explorer, and there was something off about it. The energy, I'm Mr. Skeptical, but I do sense things sometimes. Maybe it's all in my head. But while I was driving this Ford Explorer, there's something off about it, and I don't know how to put my finger on it. Like, I almost feel like somebody died in it or something.
But is something dark? Doesn't feel good, huh?
I don't know. I don't know that I want to say it was dark, but something off in a way. There's just something off about
it.
And I don't know. I don't think it was possessed.
Is that why you didn't buy it?
No, it was a little more expensive. It actually drove really nice, but there was an energy to it that I don't know if I could look past it driving it all the time. I don't know. I do not get that impression.
Okay,
on,
so I'm
going to
say this. I'm
going
to share this with you, and I don't think I ever said this on air. When my dad passed away, he gave me his car. I inherited his car, right? Okay, so I didn't want the car. I wanted something older because I didn't want a newer car. I mean, just thinking, gosh, you know, the expenses, the insurance, and, you know, even after 5 years afterwards, it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be all that great. And it was a used car as it was. So it was probably about 2 years old when I got it. Well, anyway, I sold it to my girlfriend. And when I sold it to my girlfriend, she was in 3 different accidents with that car. Now, I don't know what fluke it is or anything like that, but coincidence-wise, she had 3 accidents. When my dad had the car, there was no problem, no accidents, no nothing. And when I sold the car to her, she had 3 accidents.
That's interesting. I've been driving in Oregon since 1991, and I've never had an accident. So when somebody has 3
wow.
accidents, they're, like, really accident-prone. I mean, or maybe they're just not good drivers, but or it could be something to. I mean, that's kind of what I think. But you know.
I don't know. But my feeling was, and this is me, okay, me as a psychic medium, I just think that my dad didn't want her to have the car, so he cursed it, and just decided, hey, is she, you know, if my daughter didn't want it, I'm gonna curse the car and make it so that the car is not gonna be hers.
That's not cool. Ghosts shouldn't be cursing cars.
And my girlfriend was wondering in that too, because after the first time, it's like, okay, things happen, you know. Second time, she got to thinking, why am I getting in an accident? Why is somebody hitting my car? You know. It's just, it was a target. And the third time, that was it. It was, and she ended up selling it. She ended up getting rid of it.
And has she had accidents since?
No.
Oh, well, maybe there is something to it.
Mm-hmm. So that's my personal feeling. I think the car was cursed.
It wasn't an 05 Escape, was it?
No, it was
okay,
a Toyota.
Okay,
it was
good.
A sedan. It was a Toyota Camry.
Well, it looks like we are running out of time. So,
yay!
Yeah, so next.
Boy, I can't believe this time has gone by fast, Jason.
It goes by so fast when we're just babbling incoherently.
I know, we're just babbling, and you know, hey. But, yeah, you'll have to get on. What is it, iHeart, and say, I don't know, figure out a title, you know, babbling, who knows. We got to have to title it instead of Paranormal Horizons, probably do, I don't know, whatever you can come up with.
I changed it. It's already changed, but it's not very interesting.
Yay.
Title. Jason and Sherry number 2.
Next week we can talk about Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. That will be what the topic will be next week.
Sounds good. Well, unless you have anything else, I guess we're going to hope everybody had a great Christmas and got all the presents they wanted, and hope everybody has a safe and wonderful New Year.
Yay! How was your Christmas, Jason?
It was all right. I didn't do much. I just, I went to a Chinese restaurant and got takeout.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, we just stayed home. We laid low. You know, our kids are working Christmas. I mean, they were making pretty good money. So, you know, it's like, to me, Christmas should be every day. It doesn't have to be Christmas Day. So it's good to be able to get together with the kids and the grandkids, you know, that kind of thing. So it was nice. It was nice to be able to get together with, like I said, my son and my daughter and my grandson. So they were grandsons, I should say. And it was nice. It was a very, very nice Christmas. I enjoyed, you know, just being with them afterwards. So, but we got the new year coming in a couple days. I can't believe it. Gee, 2 days. We're going to be into the new year. Can you believe it? 2020?
Woo-hoo! It's just going to be another day off for me, so I'm going to love it.
Definitely. Hey, everybody, want to thank you for listening to Paranormal Horizons and following us on Facebook. And, yeah, we want to thank each and every one of you for not only supporting us. And, again, nothing is meant to be personal. We're trying to just entertain you guys with a little bit of humor. You don't like it, just scroll on by and, you know, just don't think about it. But, yeah, we want to thank each and every one of you for supporting us and Paranormal Horizons.
Absolutely. And with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m.
Hey, take care. We'll be back on air at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and we'll take care. And, hey, love and peace. Happy New Year.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.